day to rejoice. Greetings to all who are in this streaming webcast from the Home Office Church. Separated from the love of Christ, shall tribulation, distress, or persecution, as it is written, from your face you will kill all the day long. We are confident in you. Yet with all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor presence, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing, shall be able to separate from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Nothing shall be separated from the love of God, who watch over us. Nothing. But, as mentioned in this passage, there are challenges that we must endure. Remember always that God is in our life. And today, we'll be talking about that. As we live in dangerous circumstances, we have been speaking about these things for years. After the important proclamation of proclamation work of preaching the gospel into all the world. Always be mindful. Just a month ago, events of the coronavirus holding emotion. One week ago, when I posted the cancer of church on the book, now, everybody's been new information, governments of all states. What do we make? For one thing, I'm here at the Sabbath service that we had. Happy with that. concerning Italy are doing well. God. They're contacting six members on a date and encouraging them to be up to it. And they're really better. Everything is fine. Everyone will celebrate. Tens of thousands are infected in the US and the rest of Europe. And for the first time in history, 60 million Italians are on the coast. All factories, restaurants, hotels, cinemas, one member of each family go out and buy this experience is putting a strain on the mental and emotional state. We're all like prisoners in our homes. But it's for everyone. Our church members trust in God's protection and pray that this epidemic will soon end. The methods adopted to combat this pandemic seem to mark the beginning of a new era. Sign of what will happen in the future. This awakens them from their spiritual lethargy so that they have turned to pray to God. Messages of prayers and thoughts to praise God arrive every day on myself from our own and but most people continue to rely on their human strength singing nationalistic songs. We alone will defeat the coronavirus. I'm reminded of that. But after the storm, they continued worse than before. And so, the false ideas, none of them, in terms of true God, anyway. As far as we are concerned, we have made it as possible to avoid any problems. But what is fundamental is our protection from God. His will be done. We can find our hands. Africa via Passover and Days of Unleavened Bread will be conducted by one of the churches that have announced. But no physical service may be attended this time. We're also canceling other conferences. And that's what we're saying. Social distancing. for going to the whole world. Resources to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom of God. The other part of our mission is to prepare to continue whatever protect, safeguard, and nurture our wonderful families. The decisions that we make are not medical decisions have been done by counsel from experienced people. We have weighed in on important decisions that have been factual, on the internet there is so much Rick Barrett, who are seasoned medical professionals and church elders, both in Anglican and Catholic Church, who advise me, members of my staff, and the Council of Elders. I must say, we should see in the church activities we have. I recorded a podcast on Tuesday morning with Rick Barrett about COVID-19 crisis, and he made several insightful comments. You can tune into that. I advise everyone to hear podcasts. He talks about the strength of our church, the strength of how we can protect ourselves, but also how we can be responsible. Not only the medical doctors, the easiest way to find Inside United podcasts are to go to ucg.org. Public health ministries reflect biblical principles of quarantine, hygiene, and crowd control. I'd like to add to the Passover service that the nearly upon us. Eloquently demonstrates the principle of quarantine himself. Quarantine Israel. Stay in your home. Kill a lamb a few days before. Take the blood of that lamb and apply it to the doorpost and lintel in your home. But stay behind Israel. Because angel, I had that wrong in the emails. Death, plague of death is coming. It will kill anybody. Exodus chapter 12. None of you shall go out the door of his house until the morning. You stay inside because death will be on you. Death will be self-quarantined and protected by the dead. The lesson of quarantine. No, we are. Listen. Told to stay inside, listen, don't go out, don't get back over. Stay together, don't take matters into your own hands, don't be destructive. Trials always denote the true nature. But there are lessons, very important lessons to us from the Exodus, more than 19. The story of the Exodus refers to many places in the Bible. There, Exodus, but is repeated through the Psalms 13 times in the New Testament. Jesus Christ is Moses. Acts chapter 7, of the Jews by Stephen, the martyr, who spoke explicitly and eloquently about the Exodus. And Jesus. What are we to learn and what is the Please turn to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. Patience and comfort of the scriptures. We have hope of finding a vaccine. I hope they do find a vaccine. And this my hope is in God. My grandchildren. That's my hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grants you to be like-minded toward one another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may be of one mind and glorify the God, the Father. But more specifically, as the Exodus events, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 1. The Apostle Paul makes a similar statement about the applicability of sin. Moreover, brethren, do not want to be unaware that all our fathers are in Christ, and all past all were baptized into Moses in the cloud. Likens that going through is a baptism of the nation. They all ate, verse 3, the food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. But they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Talking about Jesus Christ's pre-existence and Jesus Christ's place in the Old Testament. But with most of them, God was not with them, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. And if you look and see the story of the Exodus, all the hopeful story of redemption, the beginning of the nation, God continuing the fulfillment of promises that began with Abraham and continuing the building of the nation, the Exodus of the first group coming out from is not the road of the contain many lessons. The Apostle Paul says, verse 6, now these things became our example, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lust. Do not become idolaters, verse 7, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to pray. They were given, before this time, they were given exemption from death that took the firstborn of every Egyptian family. They went through the Red Sea. And the Egyptian army was after this, they really didn't. Just now, talking to our people in different places when colleges were we will have no more. Just before that, spring break, fighting, drinking, and debauchery without a real serious view. Verse 6, nor did they commit sexual immorality to the danger. And one day, 23,000 nor let us tempt them, some of them also tempted, and were destroyed by Satan. Nor complain, some of them also complained, and were destroyed by the Spirit. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, for us to learn from them, upon whom the end of the ages have come. How more applicable can we become? Talks about those upon whom the end of the ages has come. That's more applicable to us than it was even in Paul's time. And talks about the bad examples that they set, and they were written for us as admonition, as warning. So, is there anything more in the historic context that we can learn from into how to conduct ourselves in the current distress? Yes, there are a number of parables that we can learn from and apply to ourselves. God imposed sanctions first in the appearance of plagues on the Egyptians. Water turned to blood, flies, rice, the wild beast, cattle, boils, hares, and all these plagues. Maybe let's watch from afar. Some of them are involved in it. And we saw this thing happen. Instead of humble in the Egypt. But it's about humble in lesson, which we've already discussed, is that of the quarantine. Chapter 12, where we were. The sojourn of the children of Israel who lived in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of 430 years, on the very same day, it came to pass that all the armies of the Lord went out to the land of Egypt. This was a night of power and hope. Children of Israel throughout the generations. And as it says in 14 verse 8, and the people left with a high hand. So, free at last, thank God. At last, as they began to do this. One thing that I saw very quickly, the first lesson. But here's something else. So they took their journey from Succoth and camped in Etham at the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them, hiding in a pillar of cloud. And by night, a pillar of fire gave them light. So by day and night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud. We saw where they were headed. We knew they were headed towards safety. An obvious route where the main highway that led to the Middle East. The main highway was the one that led up to Sheba, up to Jerusalem, and towards Babylon. Now the people stop and take a right turn into a box canyon in the Red Sea. That's where the cross took off from the main freeway down to the way of the river. Well, the cross is coming. So the Egyptians pursued them. Those silly people, look what they're doing. Suicide. All the horses and chariots and arrows and possessions and his army at the cook and camping on the sea beside Pihahiroth before Baal Siphon. And when Pharaoh drew near to the rich men, the children of Israel lifted their eyes and behold the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to the Lord, to Moses, I should say, verse 11, because there were no graves in Egypt, you've taken us to die in the wilderness? Very sarcastically. He said, Moses, what are you doing? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that you told us in Egypt to let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we could die in the wilderness. He was saying, what a silly decision. Here we see the leadership of Moses. The reason we took this time is not because of Moses, it's because God's pillar took him. Moses said to the people, verse 13, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. Here's leadership. Stand still. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you'll see again no more. Right. The Lord will fight for you, and you can hold your peace. To make some bold moves. Wondering how things would work. We've been in the United Church about 25 years. We have several Fox Canyons. The first time, the very first one, in 1997, where we all had to go to the Red Sea. God has delivered us over and over again to a new home. Yes, we've had our run-ins. We've had our trials. We've had our cliffs to stand. But you know, God has delivered us over and over again. And he has changed us. The Lord said to Moses, verse 15, why do you fight me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. Just to go forward now. Stand still. Listen to me. Lift up your rod. Stretch out your hand over the sea and divide. The children of Israel shall go on dry ground. People wonder, how are we going to get through this? Another lesson part of this was that they were going through that. There's only verse 22. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on the dry ground, and the waters were walking on the right hand of the earth. And the Egyptians pursued and went after them in the midst of the sea. The horses, there were horses and chariots of horses. It came to pass in the morning watch, verse 24, that the Lord looked down upon the army of the Egyptians and killed the fire and fire. And he troubled the army of the Egyptians. He took off the chariot wheels and the chariot fell off. So they drove them with difficulty. And the Egyptians are beginning to get it now. Let us sleep in the face of Israel. The Lord fights for them against the Egyptians. They'll begin to understand how this whole thing is going. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea. This is on the side. The waters may come back and you swift in your chariots. Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. And in the morning of the sea was turned to the sea. The Egyptians were fleeing from the sea. So the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea, verse 26. And the waters returned to the chariots, and all the army fell into the sea after. Not so much as one of them.
children.
Right. But the children of Israel walked in thy land and missed the food, and the waters were wet. So, verse 30, the Lord saved Israel. He saved this nation out of the hand of the Egyptians. And then Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Thus Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt. He feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant. Tremendous event here. Timing was important. They had to stay back. Song that's written after is Exodus. One is called Song of Moses, and one is called Song of Israel. Inspiring Song of Redemption. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed over. The Lord is my strength and my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will praise him. He sang a composed song. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is a man of chariots and diamonds. The chosen captain has been in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. But the complaints of Exodus didn't take 2 days to start complaining again after several miracles. And this is the example. We have seen many miracles in our life. As he journeyed from Elam, all upon the nation of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin between Elam and Sinai on the 15th day of the second month. This is only 1 month after the exit. And after they departed from the land of Egypt. Then the whole congregation of Israel complained against Moses in the wilderness. And the king of Israel said to them, oh, had we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt. How ungrateful. When we sat by the pots of wheat, when we ate bread, for he brought us out of the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. This is a conspiracy. He led us out here to destroy us here. He got to be in the roof of the sun. He brought us out here to kill us. He could have just killed us. And the rumor has been again. Look, we eat freely in Egypt, cucumbers, the melon, this is described in Numbers, writings, and all we have now are just like. Let's be grateful for what we have to take life when it's good and when we have to go through some inconveniences. And always to have a joyful spirit as we brought up before I started speaking. These are lessons. Stay together. Be united. Look to God, the cloud and the pillar of fire, as God shows us what to do. Come, thy will be done, thy will be done, thy will be done. Do not be unwise, not understandable. We try to say that to our God. Show us the way to do it. Show us the way to do it. Show us your things that we should be doing. Please let me not complain, not grumble. Starting complaining. And that was the downfall, really, of this first group. That led to them not even making it to complain, except the people who despised and were righteous. Because of people complaining and grumbling. certain things that you do. Side of that, my parents still live in the country. Went as teenagers, work in German. What kind of adjustment do you have to make? How will we live? Perhaps this should be part of our thinking. How will I the market that took 1/3 of my return? Or how will I get that taking place here? How will I get to getting losses in this? Or losing my job? Now right now, I'm thinking about our brethren and the things that they may have to do. That good works is rampant. Government be able to stand by as a priority. Are we going to perhaps very well is a test, just to see a test of how we respond. We respond with courage. There may be a time that we're having to do things. If you listen to the positive, Dr. Barron speaks not only to he speaks also to the elders. And he talks about all the good things that are being done in public. People people meet you doing things from pure heart to God's level. This could be an opportunity for us to really show a good side of ourselves. A lot of people do help. More people could. And when I talk to people about helping people, it's only a certain group and it's only a certain group. It's another sector. This is the time when we need to renew, establish, and maintain stronger relationships. Sensible precautions. God intimately knows our needs. He knows our needs. He knows the personal situation better than we can. Christ said, do not be anxious. I hope things go well for you. As we might say. Christ said, don't be anxious for you. Because he can make it. Psalm 77, because it really seemed to all these 20 verses. Because it really seemed to me coronavirus, and I cried to my God, to the God of my voice, and he gave ear to me. I remembered God. I complained. Stop the word. You hold my eyelids open. I am so troubled I cannot speak. I have considered the days of earth, the years of ancient time. I call to remembrance my son in the night. I meditate within my heart. And my spirit is always in search. You know, the psalmist saying, okay, I'm going to put myself together now and think the things that should be taken through this process. And I remember when he said, will the Lord cast off? And will he be safer than the Lord? Wonderful things in the Old Testament. Will he be favorable no more? What's going to happen with the coronavirus? Has his mercy, verse 8, ceased forever? Has his promise forever? Has our God forgotten to be gracious? He is trying to set up his tender mercy. One thing is that he was very honest. He was really nice. What's your take? This is the way I feel. This is ownership for his feeling. And I say, this is my anger. But I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. Okay, now he's thinking. I will remember the work of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will meditate on all your work and talk of your deeds. Now I take a look at my life. In the time that I was called by God, my years of ambassador college, my career as a student in the ministry. I take a look at all the ways that God has delivered me. creature to God. And through miracles over and over and over again. God is here. And that's what God began in 1995. In 1995. Our first overall church was in Pentecost in 1995. It was a sign that God was pleased with us, bringing us to a new church. We had obstacles with leadership, with people that reasons that were not the right thing. Yet God delivered us over and over and over again and brought us to where we are now. When I say we have difficulties in the church, we have financial, manpower, there's all kinds of issues. I say, God, you have delivered us before, and you have delivered us. There are many things in my work that I have come to do. Personnel. Work is getting older, not being able to serve. Death. You need to be in the ministry. We have many things that we need to do. And I say, God, you have delivered us before. And you have brought us to the world. You've given us the vision and mission to perform. And that's what we need to do. And this is kind of the way that we're leading in the God. I'll meditate first. I'll remember the work of the Lord. Surely I remember your wonders of all. I will also meditate on all your work. Talk of your dreams. Your way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God is our God. Praising God. Praising him because God has done these things in the past. You are the God who does wonders. You have declared your strength among the people. You have with your arm redeemed your people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. The waters saw you, O God. The waters saw you. They were afraid. The depths also trembled. The clouds poured out water. The sky sent out sound. Your arrows also flashed about. The voice of your thunder was in the whirlwind. The lightning goes up the world. The earth trembled and shook. The way was in the sea. He's talking about the Exodus. What he's talking about is the problem that the Israelites had at the very beginning, the problem that Moses had. God was coming through with the Exodus, with the Red Sea crossing, the waters, the earth trembling, the waters breaking up, the waters coming down from the clouds. Your way was in the sea. Your path in the great waters. And your footsteps were not known. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses. I just think that this psalm really means a lot to me in some of the challenges of our lives. The challenges and also I do remember what God has done in the past that he will continue to do and that he will have a great passing through the difficulties. So I won't end on that, and I'll just end with a short sermon because I feel very, please indulge me. I feel moved and thanking God. Our Father, we thank you very much for the church. We thank you for what you've done for us. We thank you for the ministry that you have raised up. Grateful to you, Father, for delivering over and over again. So we ask you to protect your people. All demographics, very old and very young. We're grateful to you for what you have done. We prepare for the task of the example ourselves.